Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Monday on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Allen going to roll left, looking for someone in the end zone. And now Shovel passes it. Complete to Jackson Hawes for his first career touchdown from 5 yards out. Josh Allen. Looking like Magic Johnson on the fast break. It's a screen pass to Shakir. Has a blocker in front. Racing to the end zone, and he's in. It's a 15-yard screen pass for a touchdown. As Shakir got great blocking downfield, got up the sideline and into the end zone. And the Bills have the lead back again. Back to pass, looking left, and stretching and reaching for it is Kincaid, and he stumbles into the end zone for the touchdown. A 20-yard touchdown hookup, Allen to Kincaid, and the Bills are an extra point away from tying it up early.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, everybody, it's Buffalo Bills Football Monday. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Jeremy White, Sneaky Joe DiBiase, after a nice weekend off. Hopefully you had a good weekend. It's raining, or has rained, and appears it will rain more. But it can still rain.
Yes.
It was the first rain in a year.
It can thunder and lightning, which thunder. There was a little bit of yesterday.
Yes. So expected some showers throughout the day today, and actually throughout the week. This is the joke where as soon as the calendar turned to fall, on the calendar, the astronomical fall, whatever. It's going to rain for a couple days, which is nice. But it's still going to be in the 70s, and, you know, beautiful.
It's been more. I had the AC on this weekend a little bit.
It got hot.
Yeah,
it got hot.
Got into the 80s, so was like, you know, close the windows. Allergies were kicking up a little bit. Like, put the AC on. It's warm enough to do that.
It was a goofy week in Sunday football, maybe, depending on, you know, what your picks were, who you thought was going to win. But the Browns beating the Packers, I don't know how many people saw that coming. That happened. Saw a lot of games decided on blocked kicks. Maybe you watched and looked at it through the eyes of what does this all mean for the Bills, and maybe you'll do that tonight with the Ravens playing the Lions. So I had a good time watching these games. Stress-free Sundays.
Yeah, there were two blocked kicks for touchdowns by one player, which was more than the rest of the league had since 2000.
Wow.
Because Jordan Davis blocked it and then returned it for a touchdown. Will McDonald blocked it and returned it for a touchdown. Did you notice on, were you watching that game, Jets and Bucks, yesterday? I was looking for him on the game-winning kick. The Bucks are lining up. They're down two. It's like a, 30-yard field goal? Like, it's not very far. And I'm looking for McDonald, because he had jumped over the long snapper to block the previous kick before he returned it, and I didn't see him out there. And if he was out there, he certainly wasn't over the long snapper. So that was weird to me that the Jets decided, hey, the thing that just worked on this, on a kick that they're probably going to make, no, let's not have him out there. I don't know if they were scared of him hitting the long snapper and then they got to re-kick it, which could have been it on a game-winning field goal, but just felt weird that they wouldn't do the exact same thing that had just worked.
We're almost at that time of year, the annual, here's what you actually are not allowed to do while blocking a kick, right? There's a penalty for leaping.
Yeah, what's how confident are you know what leverage is? Oh, that's what lost the Broncos the game against the Colts.
They called leverage on
the play? They called leverage, yeah.
Yeah. All right, once a year, maybe twice a year. It's actually, you're not allowed to do this in order to block a kick. Well, it was wild. Unintentionally hilarious to watch the Jets block a kick to potentially win a game and have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers respond with, oh, all right, fine. All right, we'll drive down and kick again.
Right, right.
Just imagine Aaron Glenn running down the sideline, so happy in that moment. We might get this one. Upset of the century. Here comes the culture. We've got it. Down the field kick. Right, maybe next week.
Yeah.
Maybe next week.
I appreciated watching Baker have a chance to drive down the field again. That's two game-winning drives in 2 weeks for him.
Yeah.
From a team where, like, this is one thing I was thinking a lot of in the league yesterday. Tampa is, like, the only team in the league that is still throwing the ball down the field on every single drive. Like, that final drive, it's, all right, more chances to watch Amika Buka make great catches along the sidelines, and he was doing that. And Evans earlier in the game was doing that. The whole league, everybody's doing it the same. Like, how many, the Giants are a little different, but, you know, because they're not a great team. How many times did you see passes thrown to running backs yesterday? The Giants did it felt like 20 times.
Yeah.
Cam Scadabaugh was like the only thing I saw happen in their offense yesterday. Neighbors had like 7 yards, right? Like,
right.
I guess it's just that easy to shut down another team's number one receiver, especially if you don't have a good quarterback, is probably the point here. But the Eagles in that whole first half were just, no, this is what we want to do. Second and 16, let's run the ball. Doesn't that mean their season's over, by the way?
Second and 17 is when
second
you're,
and 17. Yeah,
that's when your season
oh, so
ends.
They got away with it with 1 yard.
Yeah.
But everyone in the league, I feel like they're just throwing it short, throwing it short, throwing it short.
There's one other team you forgot that's not doing that.
Who's that?
The Chargers. The Chargers throw down the field. I've got Herbert's week 3 passing chart here, and it's, you know, down the field. How many throws behind the line of scrimmage or at the line of scrimmage?
Yeah.
6 out of 47.
Okay.
He's down the field.
All right.
Now, it's interesting you mention that because maybe Bills fans are really keyed in on that because of what we just watched against the Dolphins and how Allen's average depth of target was 3 yards. Did you catch? It would have been after, I think it would have been after Eagles-Rams. They're on, it had to be, because it's Nate Burleson talking about the Eagles and what they do and how they play and Saquon Barkley, and Hurts had not had a completion over 10 yards in 2 games, or like the numbers on where Hurts was throwing the ball, it was all short stuff. And then, of course, in this game against the Rams, it opens up a little bit more.
Well, was that at halftime he said that, or was it before the game?
Okay, maybe it was halftime.
Because he had 18 yards, I think, at the half.
Yeah.
Like, he had done nothing. They were just trying to run it. That's all they were trying to do in the first half, and they couldn't.
Yeah.
So
I think it was after the game, to be told. Okay. I think it was afterwards. And basically what he was getting at was, it sounded like he was talking about the Bills. And it made me feel better because Bills fans, you know how it goes. You're out there. Good morning. 803-0550. Maybe in the group chat you're arguing about whether or not Josh Allen should be throwing the ball farther. And one side of the group chat is saying, guys, they keep scoring 30. Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
The other side says, yeah, but 3 and 5 yard passes, it's a waste of Allen. If I've defined your group chat, that's what Nate Burleson said about the Eagles. And what are the Eagles? A team that just won the Super Bowl.
Right.
So if you feel like you're arguing about this with Bills fans and only Bills fans do this and we're so spoiled, the Super Bowl champs, I watched Nate Burleson give a breakdown of, like, I know Eagles fans, sometimes it doesn't look pretty, but they keep winning because they do have this formula.
Yeah.
And I mean, it might as well have been a carbon copy kind of statement about the Bills.
Not just that. If you ever think you're spoiled, the Eagles just won their second Super Bowl, how long ago was it? 7 months ago, right? 6 months ago. Now, they're Philadelphia, and this might not come as a surprise, but loudly booed off the field at halftime. Loudly booed off the field at halftime. They won the trophy this calendar year. So there are levels of spoiled. It could be worse, right? I don't know if maybe Bills fans would boo. I don't know. If they had a bad half after winning the Super Bowl 3 weeks later, I don't know. Maybe they wouldn't. But they were booing loud, and it was because they wouldn't throw the ball.
Yeah.
They just now that's different than even what the Bills do. Like the Bills will throw it. You're just seeing screens and you're seeing, you know, short stuff around the line of scrimmage sometimes or these little check downs. The Eagles just weren't throwing it at all. They went run, loss of down, penalty, second and 16, run, third and 17, run. Like that was the drive that got them booed off the field at the end of the half. Was run, run, run. And that was the whole first half for them. There's a lot of team, and by the way, what they did in the second half, they just like, all right, we got to start throwing, and we got to start throwing down the field. Hey, that dude that wears number 11, Brown.
He's good.
Yeah, he's pretty good. We start throwing it in his direction, and then he had like the biggest half any receivers had of the season. So they have it, just kind of when they want to do it.
Right, which is that the Bills? They might not have it on the level that
the Eagles do.
They have the better quarterback, the Bills do, by a lot. There's no doubt about that.
Yep.
But, you know, all right, so the Eagles, there's one team to talk about. The Chargers. Maybe you watched Chargers-Broncos. We didn't get it here, so you would have had to have the ticket, right, or been watching on Red Zone.
Yep.
Herbert is a conversation because Herbert ends this game against the Broncos with 300 yards, 28-47. Like, they're throwing down the field. And he engineers a Josh Allen comeback against the Ravens, right? A touchdown, a stop, a field goal to win all inside the final 3 minutes. The Bucs had a comeback. The Chargers had a comeback. And for the Chargers' comeback, the touchdown pass to Keenan Allen, if you've not yet seen it, prepare yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like Justin Herbert watched a bunch of Josh Allen highlights and thought, what if I tried to extend a play once in a while?
Yeah.
My experience watching Herbert has always been that he is disappointing in that element, in that regard, where there's pressure, he's not going to get away. He's fast, isn't he? How come he never runs to the spot? How come he never beats a defender? He's a very good athlete. He's supposed to be able to do some of these things. Of course, mm-hmm. very few can do them on the level of Josh Allen. The touchdown pass to Keenan Allen is shrugs off a defender that's got his shoulder pads, steps, turns, throws across his body the wrong way, and finds Keenan Allen in the end zone for a touchdown.
30-yard throw, too. Yeah, like it was a good throw.
Exactly. A laser beam to Keenan Allen. If I'm a Charger fan, I'm happy about 3-0, of course. I'm feeling good. Jim Harbaugh's a good coach. Justin Herbert, they're putting it all together. And then Herbert makes that play, and it's, okay, I'm going to need those plays. I haven't. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they've gotten those plays from Herbert that much. He's an incredible passer. He's not the off-script virtuoso that Allen is. And I think you maybe don't have to be as good as Allen at it to win, but you have to be good. You have to know that that's in there. And, man, what a play from Herbert. So they're 3-0. The Broncos are 1-2 and probably feel like they should be 3-0.
Yeah.
But, hey, whatever. Here are the Chargers with a huge lead in that division and three wins in that division. They're 3-0 and 3-0 in the AFC West. So a good start.
No, 2-1, right?
They
beat the Colts.
The Chargers.
Yeah. Denver lost the Colts.
Yeah, the Chargers beat the
Raiders.
Chiefs, Raiders, Broncos.
Okay, yes, okay, three yep. division wins, right?
3-0 wow. and 3-0 in the division.
Oh, they started their schedule with three games in the division?
Yep.
That's wild.
And they started in Brazil, don't forget.
And that, right.
So they went to Brazil and won, came home and beat Vegas, and then beat Denver. 3-0 to start.
Yeah. They might be doing it out of necessity a little bit. They ran the ball better yesterday, but isn't that the thing they're not supposed to have to the same degree because of their injuries on the line? And Hampton's looked pretty good. Najee Harris off of the season now, right? So that hurts their backfield a little bit. I wonder if they were doing it more out of necessity a little bit. But yesterday they could run it, and they were still creating those plays down the field. So, all right, like, that's the team for the one seed right now until Baltimore plays tonight.
Unless you want to consider the team that is number one in the NFL in point differential.
Which is
the Colts.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Still can't get there.
Okay.
Still can't get there.
You definitely don't have to get there.
Let me just put it this way. I wasn't there yet after they won against Denver. I'm not going to get there after they beat the Titans.
Right. They did, of course.
Not the Titans.
They did demolish the Titans.
They did.
And yeah. Never had to sweat, which, fine.
They'll play at the Rams next week.
Okay.
That's a
legitimate test.
So who's who game. They beat the Rams and look impressive. I think you can't really deny it anymore.
Yeah.
That'll look really good.
The Colts. Here we are, the Colts.
But not for the one seed, though. Right?
No,
like, I'm thinking about them for maybe that's the team that wins the AFC South. But I'm not thinking about them for the conference.
How much of the one seed is, how much of a walk is your division? Isn't that the ultimate defining characteristic? How did the Patriots get it so many times in the Brady era? The division's a walk. How come the Chiefs have been able to get it so many times? The division has been disappointing. Mm-hmm. At least the Bills had the Dolphins in the division a couple times, and the Patriots were a contender. And how'd the Titans get it when they did get a one seed? The division's a mess. The AFC South, Houston, dead on arrival.
Houston has the worst offense in the league.
Houston is a disaster.
Yeah.
Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence.
Now they're
stinks.
They're Jacksonville, right? Like they won yesterday, right? But they never look impressive.
No, they don't look very good. And then there's the Titans. The Colts could go 6-0 in their division, 5-1 in their division, which means the Bills have to match that. So it's important to remember the one seed isn't always the best team. It's of course just the best record. Do I think they have a legitimate shot at the one seed? No. I don't think the Colts are going to have more wins than the Bills this season. But right now it's a tie, and I know that they play in a, I don't know, do I want to call it a softer division?
Well, maybe I'm looking at their schedule.
The Bills division looks over as well.
Because they're not playing a first-place schedule either. They're playing a third-place schedule even.
Yeah.
Like, great teams they play the rest of the way. Rams this week. They play the Chargers. They play Kansas City.
You said great teams. I don't want to hear. Yeah,
sorry,
I don't want to hear the Chiefs in that conversation.
At Arrowhead, and then they play the Niners late in the year.
Right.
Like that's kind of it for like really tough games along the way. Like Atlanta's not a super tough game right now. Arizona isn't. Pittsburgh isn't. The Raiders. Like these are their non-division games. But still, Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
Come on, the reckoning is coming. Right. Like.
Nobody
is that bad for 7 years and then gets this good in an instant. That's not happened, right? Not being bad that long with multiple coaches.
Well,
like
as you say, this good, he has 3 touchdown passes.
Okay, but they haven't punted yet this season, right?
But he has 3 touchdowns.
Right.
How good does he have to be? They have a lot of great weapons. Jonathan Taylor is running all over everybody's faces.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how good Daniel Jones has had to be. His quarterback rating is a 111, which is a market improvement since last year where he was in 79.
I mean, he leads the league in yards per attempt.
Okay.
9.3. So
that's not bad.
He's almost averaging a first down for every time he drops back the pass.
It's good.
That's crazy.
803-0550. You know, it's a Buffalo Bills football Monday after a Bills weekend, a Bills-less weekend. So if you watched games, had impressions, I've had some thoughts about the Bills. Join us. We're wide open today. Sal joins us at 8 o'clock. You know, we run through highlights and some game stuff, and we'll check schedules. The Bills open as a 16.5 point favorite against the Saints.
Thank you to the Saints for bumping that up a little bit.
Yeah. Well, the Saints and Seahawks played yesterday, and halfway through the second quarter, the game should have been called.
Yeah.
21-0 Seahawks after the first.
Right.
38-6
at halftime. What's the mercy rule? Yeah.
I don't think 16.5 is big enough. I know the Bills play to run and might play a kind of game script that might keep the Saints closer, but the Saints are every bit as bad as people expected them to be and put up a touchdown late in the fourth quarter. Otherwise, they're down 44-6 on the road to Seattle, and Seattle didn't even try in the second half.
Yeah, it was 38-6 at the half.
I
mean, they might even – would they go to the rookie next week?
They'd be insane to do it. Well – maybe we should take that back.
Spencer Rattler, by the way, 0-9 as a starting quarterback now in the NFL.
Maybe they look at the Bills' defense and think, you know,
the Bills' defense is
not that tough a test. Listen, that's a conversation.
You might think too, hey, like the offense is going to be so good that, hey, it's going to be a lot of garbage time, soft zone coverage because they're up by so much. That's an easy environment for the rookie.
Counterpoint is next week they're home against the Giants.
That's where you want them.
And home against the Patriots to follow, and then at the Bears and home box. Like, you'll have 3 out of 4 at home.
That's where you put them.
So Spencer Rattler gets one more kick at the can, and then let's go ahead and get Tyler Shuck in there against the Giants at home.
He'll play the second half anyway.
Maybe.
If the Bills are up by as much as Seattle is.
803-0550. The Sabres play a preseason game tonight.
Yeah, 7 o'clock.
If you want to get
in. Right, misspoke in the update. We don't have Monday Night Football. We have the Sabre game tonight.
Right.
7 o'clock. So.
Monday Night Football's good, though.
It is.
Lions and Ravens. And your boy over here needs a miraculous performance from Jared Goff and Mark Andrews to avoid the guillotine chop.
Oh, man.
It's going to be a tough one.
How many?
I need, like, 25.
That's not...
It's
the problem is Mark Andrews doesn't exist at the moment. So
correct. I have.
You kind of need Jared Goff to get 25 points.
Which he could. If it's a shootout, he could do it.
I moved him into one of my other lineups because I was looking at some of the over-unders, and I'm looking at Goff, I'm like, 265.5. Who has an over-under in the NFL these days at 265.5? Which is like 30 yards beyond some of the other guys, but because what? They have a bad defense, and they just scored 52 points, and they're going to have to keep up all day?
Yeah.
So
probably.
Tonight should be offense.
It should be. Should be fun. The Ravens, what are they? They wear the black jerseys with the Midnight Falls. Is that what they call it?
Are they wearing it tonight?
Right. They did that against the Bills last year. A night game. Their record in night games at home is 20. Darkness Falls.
Yeah, they're doing it tonight.
21-3 in this spot. Like, their record at home in a primetime game is, you know, they're good. Anyway, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. It is Buffalo Bills Football Monday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Got some clips around the league on what people are saying about the Bills. Colin Cowherd has a big, long thing about Josh Allen that I think is very interesting to dig into about how Allen shouldn't exist because basically he's the perfect player now who doesn't make mistakes.
He also, in his Colin Cowherd way, compared Allen to Leonardo DiCaprio.
Okay.
Which, maybe, you know what?
Maybe,
like,
I didn't see that part of it.
Okay, there's that part of it. When he started that part of it, I thought, okay, here we go. And then I'm like, by the end of it, you know, it wasn't bad. Not a bad comparison.
Boy, let me see if I can reach for it. Is it, you always saw the talent, you wonder if he could be a truly leading guy, and then he just all of a sudden one day is like, oh yeah, he's the best.
Yeah, but this is kind of part of our conversation about the Bills. It was, you know, he's doing all the special things, right? Like, Titanic is jumping over a linebacker. And Catch Me If You Can is chucking the ball 80 yards down the field. And then Leo did Revenant.
Right.
Which was kind of boring, but it was an amazing acting performance. And that's what he's saying Allen is right now. Little more boring, little more mature, but this is when he wins the Oscar.
Yeah. Fair enough. I mean, the boring one, he got attacked by a bear. Spoiler alert.
You know, I haven't seen it.
Oh, well, the story is basically...
I know he got attacked by a bear.
It's basically...
Though. It's a meme.
The story is he got attacked by a bear.
Right.
That's the Revenant.
And he doesn't say a word in the whole thing? I mean, just grunts?
There's not really people to talk to.
Okay, it's just him. Right.
Pretty much. Yeah. All right. This has been our review of The Revenant.
You know, right.
If in the chat, post other movies you'd like to see us review. Leo DiCaprio movies in 10 words or less.
Yes. Allen plays to Leo DiCaprio movies.
Okay.
That's what the game was, I think.
All right, fair enough. in that case, what is the throw the pass to Amari Cooper, get a pitch back to him, and dive for the pylon?
That's Wolf of Wall Street.
All right.
That's Wolf of Wall Street.
I like it.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. No notes. 803-0550. We'll get you some of these clips around the league, get you highlights of the games from around the league. A fun day in the NFL yesterday. Hopefully you had a good time. Colts, Chargers, the Chiefs. Man, the Chiefs.
Hey, look, they can throw the ball down the field again on the Giants, who I think everyone's going to be able to do that.
It's not as annoying watching them get lucky when they're 1-2 as if they were 3-0. But the Chiefs' luck,
what was
they still have it.
Yeah, was the luck play
There were two things.
Okay. One play I might fight you on luck.
One, the Giants kicker can't kick.
Right.
All of a sudden, I'm in a close game, and he can't kick.
Right. He did kick later in the game, though.
All right, well, he couldn't kick earlier.
Right, and the replacement, who? Was that the punter?
Got a kick blocked.
Yeah.
Because the kicker can't kick, that's luck. And then the other luckiest play of all time, Mahomes throws it behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
And it's clearly a fumble. The Giants players get two cracks at it, including the second player actually getting it up into his hands, only to have Mahomes dive in and swipe it away at the 6-yard line.
Yeah. That's
a hustle play.
Is that what? That's luck, but also that was incredible by Mahomes.
It is.
I'll give it to him.
Definitely luck. Yes.
That was luck.
Fumble recoveries are luck to begin with.
But that wasn't a fumble recovery. That was, you have the ball, I am taking it back from you.
He didn't have the ball. That's the thing. The guy was trying to get the ball.
I actually saw a lot of people complaining, but a lot of people on Twitter going, shouldn't that be 1st and 10 Chiefs because the Giant player had possession?
No, because he didn't have possession.
You don't think he had possession?
Nope. He was still trying to pick it up. He should have had possession or fallen on it, but two Giants players tried to pick up that ball and run with it.
Well, it should have been a scoop and score, really, right?
Yeah.
That should have been 6. It should have been, that was at the end of the half. It should have been 13 to, well, I guess they might have missed the extra point again. It should have been 12 to
right.
6.
They missed an extra point, too.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Giants, they're a mess. Russell Wilson, it's over. Call it.
Yeah, they got to get
call
him
that thing
He's
now.
Bad.
Get Jackson Dart in there. All right. Random reviews of the week that was. And tonight, Lions and Ravens. Jeremy and Joe, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Had some thoughts on what I'm hearing out there. Had friends over talking about the Bills. There seems to be, can I say frustration, with the offense. And then the defense is going to be a work in progress. We got a lot to talk about with this defense and what happened to them on Thursday night as well. Jeremy and Joe, give us a ring, 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Tell us something you saw from Sunday's slate. It's Buffalo Bills Football Monday here on WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hand off to Cook. Going to cut it back to the left side. Through a hole. Out to the 50. Trying to get away from the defender. Shakes another tackle. And he's into Miami territory at the 44-yard line.
Second down and 6. Herbert to the air. Pipkins the block at the right tackle. Got away from Allen. Herbert alive in the throw. Caught. Touchdown. Touchdown. Allen. What a play.
Allen, what a play. Not Josh Allen. Keenan Allen there. On a strike from Justin Herbert. The Chargers rally to beat the Broncos, who have some game management issues through 2 weeks. They've made some rough mistakes. 1-2 and feel like they should probably be 3-0. Good morning. Jeremy and Joe here on a Buffalo Bills football Monday. Highlights of the game. In that case, the Justin Herbert throw. Brought to you by Northland Workforce Training Center. Train for what's next. Of course, the Bills played on Thursday. They'll play Sunday, 1 o'clock against the Saints. And be huge, huge favorites. Biggest favorites in the league to this point. Upping the mark from last week when they beat the Dolphins. As 12.5-point favorites. 16.5 is the most recent I've seen it. I bet it climbs. I bet it goes up. But we'll see. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. One game we didn't mention. How much of Cowboys-Bears did you see?
A good amount.
Party day for the Bears. Absolute party.
Yeah.
Flea flickers.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the flea flicker? Because the flea flicker, which they throw a bomb to Luther Burden, looked like a more discombobulated flea flicker than I've ever seen before.
Mm-hmm.
Is that why it worked? Because DeAndre Swift sold it with maybe an extra step? If you're a defender covering that, he got deep into the line and hit by a lineman and then turned and threw a moon ball.
Yeah, it was really high throw back to the quarterback.
And then Caleb Williams threw it 62 yards.
That's why I think it really worked.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the throw was a laser 60 yards down the field. Because the rest of it, I'm not sure how well they would say that that it was executed. But yeah, there was a trick play the Vikings ran at the end of the half against the Bengals. Did you see that one?
I did not see that one.
I thought the Bengals, that might be one of those plays that, like, we get the unwritten rule conversation after the game, because the Bengals can't get out of their own way. They've just turned the ball over twice. They hand it off. They're like, we got to get out of here. It's 31-3, and there's like 30 seconds left in the half. So they hand the ball off to Samaje Perine just to ice the clock, right? Like, get us out of here. Here's the ball to a veteran running back. He fumbles. Like, this is the first play of their drive. They've just turned it over. He fumbles. So what do the Vikings do? They're in midfield. I'm like, are they just going to be nice here and, like, will they kneel it out? Like, they're up by 28. The Bengals can't do anything. So what do? The complete opposite. They throw it backwards to Justin Jefferson, who then throws the ball down to the running back. You're up by 28.
Kill shot. Yeah.
They're trying to get to halftime, and you're throwing the ball with your wide receiver. Right. Like, not even kill shot. Like, let's embarrass them right here.
Let's demoralize.
I didn't see anything about that afterwards, though.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. I posted a poll on Twitter talking about the Bills' defense. We can get to this a little bit. And some other Bills matters as well. Through 3 weeks, how are you feeling about the Bills' defense? Your three options are, because it's about through 3 weeks, encouraged,
mm-hmm.
help coming, because we all know Hoyt, Hairston, Ogunjobi, like, you know, there are guys coming back. So encouraged, help coming, same as before the season, or troubled. What do you think about this Bills' defense 3 weeks in? Give us a call on it. Vote in this Twitter poll. We'll see how things come out. I don't know what I expect the answer to be. Encouraged or troubled or same as before season. You know, it kind of gets to each individual person that's voting in this Twitter poll how you felt. If you felt great, maybe you couldn't be even further encouraged. If you were terrified, maybe you would be feeling better. I think my answer is about same as before the season. Like, I've not yet been moved. I want to say help is coming. Not yet. I don't know.
I'm definitely where I was before the season, but I was very much like, I'm not sure they're going to be good on defense before the season. I guess the best sign I have is that Bosa looks like he's going to be a real player.
Yeah.
All season. But even that, like, that's the injury risk with him, is that at any moment that could just end, because it seems to happen every year with him. But I guess the troubling signs would be, like, Milano is a bit of a question right now as to what he's got left, I think. And I would say that the secondary overall looks like, all right. Like, I haven't yelled at Cole Bishop yet through three games. But Taylor Rapp, on the other hand, like, I don't know. So I feel okay about it, but I still feel like it's not a defense at the moment that I would have a lot of confidence in a big playoff game against the league's top offenses. I think you would have to keep up with some of those teams. How would they play against the Chargers might be a question now to ask.
Yeah.
Like, maybe okay. I think they need one of these guys that's not available to them right now to be like a real impact player for them.
They need Hoyt to give them a pass rush. Because right now,
Or Hairston to be like a true
good enough
corner that you could put in man coverage and not have him get destroyed like Trey White will.
Yeah.
Like that might be as big of an impact as Hoyt. Because the pass rush, like if Ed Oliver were to get healthy, like I could get there on the pass rush, could be good. Hoyt would help it. But I'm pretty concerned about their secondary if Hairston can't give them anything.
Yeah, what happens when they play quarterbacks that can wing the ball all over the place? And Herbert might be that against this defense. Like, he might carve them up. Or he might come on the road in January. Or he might come here in January and look like he just can't do it. Like, we'll see if the Chargers, if their game travels by the time they get to, you know, the playoffs, if they make it. Last year they go in the playoffs, he threw four interceptions in Houston. So
right.
It also doesn't have to be a factor for weather. 803-0550 and 1-888-552-550. You can vote in that Twitter poll. You can give us a ring. Nick writes in, Sean's defense scares me. They look slow. One of the reasons that they might look slow is because some of the guys they drafted to be and signed to be the difference makers, like Hairston's fast.
Yeah.
Hairston's fast. And I don't know about Michael Hoyt just being a fast player, but I think we saw it in the preseason. He flies. He looks like he makes them more athletic and more malleable or whatever, multiple, whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
Like, why would they look slow? Probably because Tre'Davious White's out there instead of Hairston. But past that, like, I don't know, Bishop's athletic.
You know
who else is really fast, by the way? Dorian Strong's very fast.
Yeah. If you think they look slow, I think the guy that might be doing that for you right now is Rapp. Right? Rapp's the guy.
He's not a very fast safety, right?
Rapp is, no, I mean, he's outrun by Bills linebackers, right? So like that would be the guy to look at. If you think they look slow, I think that's the player that you're watching, that you're seeing on the third level. I mean, the Henry play sticks out, but you know there were a couple of plays against Miami where he was getting outrun to the sideline. Because overall, like their defense as a whole, is it slow? Like Bernard isn't slow for his position. Milano at this point, maybe you want to say that. I haven't thought it. Benford's not slow. Maybe Trey would be the other one, right? Trey getting outrun by Waddle on like some of those mesh routes last week.
Then again, Waddle outruns a lot of players.
That's true. But Hairston would be the guy you would think would run with him.
Yeah.
So that I think it's probably mostly those two. You have two guys in your secondary that they're not going to give you wheels right now.
Sean in Orchard Park is up to start us off this morning. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning. How you doing, guys?
Good.
Good, good. Hey, just wanted to see what your thoughts were on Dawson Knox. I feel like I haven't seen him the last 3 weeks as part of the offense. Maybe I'm just not seeing something, but just curious your thoughts on that.
He's playing. He dropped a couple passes against, was it Miami? Yeah, he dropped a couple passes against Miami. But he's playing. The Bills are playing their three tight ends a lot. You've got Knox getting, let me pull up his snap count here for the season. 58%, sorry, this is last season. 2025.
I know right he now. Played about half against Miami.
Okay.
Because they all played about half against Miami.
56, 55, 53 are Dawson Knox's snap counts. He led all tight ends the first 2 weeks, and this week Kincaid got him by 2%. Knox is 56, 55, 53. Kincaid is 51, 48, 55. Jackson Hawes, 19, 47, 43. Now you're going to see a lot of this three tight end. And Knox leads tight ends in snaps with 121, Kincaid at 112.
Okay.
So I think he's a fixture. If you're looking for him to get a bunch of catches, like that ship might have sailed.
He should have had more against the Jets.
Okay, was the Jets game with the drops?
He had, I think, two drops in that game, and he had five targets.
Yeah.
Five targets, 2 for 19 was the stat line at the end of it. So tried to get him the ball a little bit there. He did not have a target against Miami. But no, he's never going to be again. He had a 71 target season for the Bills and scored 9 touchdowns that year.
Yeah.
Like he's not doing that ever again for them.
Probably. I mean, they drafted that away from him by getting Kincaid in here. Now they have a tight end that, you know, commands more of that kind of attention. But he's still been a role player on this team and, you know, three tight ends. I think you're going to continue to see it. Thanks, Sean, for the phone call. Bob writes in on this question about the defense. Troubled and same as before. That's And somebody else writes, that's the same answer. But Bob writes in, they need to get a dynamic offensive weapon because they will need to keep up against good teams. Don't let Olave or Shahid leave town next weekend.
I like both those players. Those are, I mean, Olave is a big trade, right?
Yes.
It's a big trade.
Rashid Shahid, we'll see what the Saints do. Are they going to try and hit over the top with him on Sunday?
He is a very fast receiver.
He's very fast.
Yeah, and he's pretty good. I'm not saying this would happen every week. I saw a lot of clips from the Miami game where guys are open down the field.
Yeah.
Like Kincaid, right? There's one play where he threw it to Cook for like 5 yards and he had turned down like a 30-yard pass down the field that would not have been a gimme, but Josh Allen makes that pass to Dalton Kincaid 30 yards down the field. There's a play to Coleman where he's down there. Like there's a few of them. Like, I don't know how often is that going to happen, though, where those guys are going to be constantly running down the field. Because in other games, you might decide to take those passes, and maybe they're not there. Shahid is a guy that is going to be running those routes all the time down the field. Also, why would he be available, I guess would be my question. Is he young enough? New Orleans wouldn't want to just quit on that right now. No, he's 27. Never mind. A little older than I thought. It's not like 23. All right, don't let him leave town. I'm in.
Watch the Patriots yesterday?
Some.
Drake May and Josh Allen comparisons will continue while May throws careless interceptions early in his career.
And runs.
He also might have been concussed in that game and allowed to stay in and play.
He at least should have been pulled.
Yeah. He threw an interception two plays after play where it looked like he got knocked out.
He slammed his head on the back of the
and
turf.
And reached for his head with his hand.
Yeah, he should have been pulled.
He should have been pulled out of the game for sure. All right, 803-0550, Monday Night Football tonight, Lions and Ravens, and the Sabres' first preseason game against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Feels like the preseason is a lot of Buffalo and Columbus. Prospects Challenge.
Are they the Bills, Lions?
I think so. These teams are besties.
Sabres and Blue Jackets.
These teams are besties now, Columbus and Buffalo. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Give us a ring. Sal at 8. It's a Buffalo Bills football Monday and a victory Monday at that. Why can't we have a victory Monday after we had a victory Friday? Consider it a victory long weekend. It's victory Monday here on WGR.
Back to pass, looking left, and stretching and reaching for it is Kincaid, and he stumbles into the end zone for the touchdown. A 20-yard touchdown hookup. Allen to Kincaid, and the Bills are an extra point away from tying it up early.
He doesn't care who's out there running the routes. He doesn't care, you know, he's just going to go through his progressions and take what's there and trust everybody's going to be in the right spots. And I think that there's so much power to that. I think it's, you even see on, you know, early in the game, he went to go throw a stop route to Keon and boom, they played base defense with it, found James Cook right there on the check down. And it looks like, you know, the check down, that's such elite football play. Just not going from one side of the field to then having to go to the other side and then scramble around, like, boom, I just take it and I keep it moving. And those are things that they're not sexy, but it's really good play.
Joe Brady on Josh Allen making smart decisions. Big topic around town. I was mentioning, like, your group chats out there. Maybe you guys and gals are all arguing in the group chat about whether or not Allen should have more at his disposal, should be throwing deeper down the field, should be more aggressive instead of these three-yard passes. Got a clip from that on Colin Cowherd coming up as well. And I'm ready for the big, long thesis for you, Joe. I've been crafting it over the weekend, thinking about it over the weekend. So I'll get that for you next.
Shouldn't that give less credit to Miami, though, all of that? Like, all these plays, I'm watching some of them again right now. These plays where Kincaid's open down the field, throws it short to James Cook. And here's Palmer, open down the field. What's he do? Throws it short to Dalton Kincaid. Like, all these plays. Shouldn't that go to say, hey, Miami, you actually didn't do anything great. They just chose to keep you in the game. Isn't that all that is? Like, these plays, Daniel Jones was ripping down your throat in week one, and the Bills just decided we didn't need them. So is that actually Miami doing a good job playing the game close, or is it just they got lucky that the other team decided they didn't need to take those chunk plays?
It's probably Miami doing a good job and executing their game plan, right?
They're open. Like, Kincaid's open for 35 yards. He throws it 5 yards to Cook. Why is that a good job by the Dolphins?
Well, I feel like one play might not be representative of all the rest of the plays where Miami puts on, you know, a big shell and says, we're not going to give up shots down the field. And maybe they think Allen won't take them. They might hear Joe Brady talk about how great it is and see how Allen has been, well, coached up and has done a great job of taking exactly what a defense gives. They're like, let's give them underneath. Let's see if we can get them to go on a 12-play drive, and maybe there's a holding penalty, or I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you stop this Bills offense.
No, that's the point. It's really, there probably isn't
a lot of good answers.
Way to do it. They kind of, it does feel like they kind of can do it however they want to.
Yeah. 803-0550, it is Victory Monday. That audio from the locker room brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino. Joe Brady there talking about Josh Allen. And we also, of course, here did Eye on the Quarterback on Josh Allen. So Eye on the Quarterback brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Our business is protecting your business. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. The Colts punted.
Finally
punted. Once.
Well, I was going to say, it was only once, though, right?
They punted once. Yes, they have their first punt. And they're 3-0.
And the Texans are 0-3.
And they're bad. They're bad.
How did they let that happen?
C.J. Stroud went from a very good young quarterback to misses a lot of throws, isn't very good.
I have trouble blaming him a lot, though, because he is under duress on every play.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where, like, are the Texans kind of ruining this? Like, this is your window. He's on the rookie contract. He was great in year one, and you can't keep defensive linemen off him.
The Texans are the only team in the last 20 years to start 0-3 despite allowing fewer than 54 points.
Wow. Yeah, because the defense is great.
The defense is very, awesome. Very good.
Yeah.
And the offense is a mess. They're 0-3, and they've given up 55 points.
Brutal.
803-0550, our phone number, 1-888-550-2550. Sal coming up at 8 o'clock here on WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.